Good morning, Trailhead Church. I'm Josh. I'm the pastor of the church. And along with my wife, Anna, we're so thankful you guys are here today. And if you have any questions, stick around, meet somebody new. There are plenty of people to meet here at this church. Super friendly. We kind of pride ourselves in being super friendly. If you've ever met Tom and Hillary, I mean, Tom, he's just Tom. He's wonderful. Hillary gives great hugs. Terrence is one of the nicest people on the planet. You need to meet Terrence. Guys, we have good people in this church, so stick around. If you've ever met the Snyders, Jess and Jessica, two of my favorite people on the planet, Justin's just even keel. We have some really good men in this church. Ethan and Larry, man, you guys are some good men. Joseph, you guys are good men. There's something about you. I had someone say, you know what's really cool about your church is that you've got some real manly men. I never thought of it. I was like, yes, we do. So if you don't find yourself very manly and you go to this church, you are manly. We win. If you can't grow a successful beard, don't worry. Ethan can for you. Someone said that to me. I thought, I like that. I like that we have manly men in this church. Anyway. If you are watching online, we're blessed to have you. Stick around online, text a little bit there in the chat and meet some people. For you that are new to church and you're like, man, what are up with all these camera guys? I mean, I love watching Rodney work a camera and Johnny. They're like, there's like snipers in the military field. Like I love it because there's those moments that even Rob, the bass player, or Eli, or even when Johnny's playing the drums, I'm sure there's like, it's like all of a sudden out of nowhere, there's Rodney, and they're like, oh, and it's like, got shocked. But what I love about it is we're trying to have an experience for those people that are home that they can watch and are being engaged. And I am so thankful that you are watching. And please, man, just continue to watch from home, and we hope to see you soon, that's for sure. So, all right, let's get into the message. My wife and I, we talk about this quite often, and it's one of those subjects that, you know, we know each individual in this church, they're at different stages in life, especially when they're walk with Christ. That was one of the reasons why we named our church Trailhead. We knew that no matter where you are on your journey with Christ, you begin at the trailhead. You begin here, and if you're a novice hiker, you're a beginner, you're an advanced, whatever the case may be, that no one's going to belittle you, but you come along them and you still just walk beside people and you talk to them about the things that God's speaking to you about, and that we're here for one another. And you know, each one of us, we're learning to be self-feeders. That's a word that's really important for us as a church, that we want to help develop you to be a self-feeder. So on Sunday mornings, your cup that you have, I don't want you to walk out of here filled, okay? I want you to walk out of here with almost half empty, because what I really want is I want your vessel to increase. I want to stretch your capacity so that when you walk out of here, you go, I want more. I don't want you to be filled with enough for you and your family and maybe one of your close friends. I want you reaching a moment of stretching this unsatisfied capacity. I want more of God so I can reach more for Him. I want to have a capacity that just continues to grow. Every Sunday, I want you to increase. I want you to have those moments in your life where you go, it's not enough. I've got more people I want to reach. I've told the story before, and it's one of my favorite. I was in an LA airport, and there was these two guys sitting behind me, and boy, they looked rough. It was the stereotypical moment of the teardrops and the evil tattooed across their wrists. And you're like, who are these guys, right? And I remember my son, he just sat down right beside him, like no big deal. So I was like, oh, we're going to do this. Okay, yeah, all right. I have no problems. You know, I'm acting all cool, like without judgmental. I'm being judgmental. I'm being honest with you guys. I'm being judgmental. And then I'm hearing them talk, and I'm thinking, what are they talking about? Man, we need, that doesn't work. That one doesn't work. We need something. We're fighting a real battle here. We need this. And I'm thinking, what are they preparing for? Are they looking up weapons on Google? Like brass knuckles isn't enough. We got to get, like, switchblades. Like, what's the deal? And then I turn, I look over my shoulder, because they're right behind me like this, and they're reading the Word of God, and they're fighting spiritual warfare, and they're looking for the right scripture to fight spiritual warfare. And I go, what in the world? So immediately I like pop up on my knees and I lean over the side of the table. I'm like, oh, or the little row of chairs, and I immediately, I'm all up in their business. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you guys reading? And then I'm asking them questions. I said, man, you guys, this is awesome. Like, this is super cool to listen to you guys talk about the understanding of the spiritual warfare in order to build the kingdom of God. And to take apart those things of the enemy, this web of lies and frustration and anger and stress and all these things. I mean, they were fighting it and they were doing it the right way. And I want you to have that same knowledge, but yet the knowledge of knowing, man, I want more of him. I don't want you to walk out of here filled with feelings of just like, oh, I feel good. That made me feel good today. That was great. Wow, it's enough for me and my family. No, now what I want is that your capacity grew, and then tomorrow I want you to begin to be a self-feeder where you're reading the Word of God and you're finding these things on your own. You say, man, God is so good. Man, God's this, and I can see this in my life, and I know what I need to do tomorrow with these individuals. I know how to pray. You're beginning to have that understanding and that love for others and reaching that capacity, and that's so important. So that's one of our main objectives here at this church, for sure. You know, I'm wrapping up today with this series, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you everything in my life right now. I'm wrapping up this series. Next week's just going to be a one-off message that God's been speaking to me about, and then we have Mother's Day, because, yeah, April's almost over, and May just comes real quick. And then I'm gone for a few weeks. I'm going to take a sabbatical and kill myself in the Grand Canyon. And so that's usually what I like to do, which is really stupid for some of you, and it is for me as well. The minute I take one step down in the Grand Canyon, I go, God, why am I doing this again? But that's what I do. So I'm going to be gone for a few weeks, and then we're going to have all sorts of amazing people come in and speak for you guys for a few weeks while I'm out. But I'm just, one of the things I want to get across today with this message, because I want to wrap it up fully and completely, is being an influencer. Some of you in this room, you feel so inadequate. You even the nature of beings, of who we are at times, is we take humility in the wrong manner. We look at humility as like, you know, this shyness to want to do the things of God. We actually treat it like humility. I'm just humble. I'm a humble Christian. I'm not going to jam it down people's throats. Well, I'm going to tell you guys something. God doesn't want you to jam it down people's throats either, okay? He knows the right way. He has everything you need, all the tools you need. He'll take care of you. I know it because God's word says it. So you don't have to have this notion of like, oh, I'm just trying to be humble. No, that's ridiculous. Because I'm going to tell you, God's looking for boldness, okay? When you read the Word of God, man, there's boldness. There is boldness in His Word. And for some of you, you feel inadequate. So this message of influencer, some of you, you play this card of, it's not for me. I've got to work on myself. I'm here to tell you guys, as a vessel for the kingdom of God, you are a sinner. You will never be perfect. Not as much as you earthly try, you will never be perfect. You will always have problems. You will always have problems. My wife and I, we had a moment yesterday with each other. I picked her apart, she picked me apart, and then we both laughed about it. Because we both just looked at each other and we said, this is so funny. Because we both have problems. We're both inadequate. And then we finally look at each other and go, but it's okay. And we're still going to love each other through the inadequacies of who we are. It's that God, grace, love, mercy moment where you say, yeah, what's going to change? I remember even after we had a fight, at the end of the night, my wife looked at me. It was super funny. And so she goes, in the instance of not understanding my brain, she asked me a simple question. And I'm giving her all of these like pathways of things I'm going to do or all this kind of stuff. And then she begins to pick it apart out of the fight from that morning, you know. And then she goes, why am I doing this? Like, what's the point of this? Like, this is exactly what we were talking about of not embracing and understanding. Okay, we have inadequacies And God's going to come in and he's going to make up the difference. And he's going to speak to us and he's going to talk to us. These aren't life-threatening issues that we have in life. These are simple, simplistic little fights and little spits and spats of moments. This isn't detrimental to our well-being and who we are. But those moments that the enemy just wants to come in and just create this dissonance. And if we were to let it continue, then yeah, it would breed all sorts of problems. But we looked at each other and we said, what is the point? There's no point in this. And that's why I tell you guys, we try to do these, and I've used this phrase often, and I'll probably describe it a little bit better than maybe I have in the past, but spiritual jumping jacks. We do these moments where we try to get right with God, and we try to do all these exercises. Yeah, I feel good. But yet you still don't have spiritual abs. And we all know what that's like in the natural. It's almost impossible. There's like probably two people in this whole room. Dylan, I think he's like the only one in this room. Maybe Nolan's got abs. I don't know. But some of you guys, it's almost unrealistic. It's almost unrealistic to think that you guys could do enough to deserve the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to talk about is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we got to go back to the very beginning. The one of the very first individuals to come in contact with the presence of God outside of Adam. But I want to talk about Abraham briefly here. We see that Abraham in Romans chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, was humanly speaking. I love it. He's just a human. He was the founder of our Jewish nation. What did he discover about being made right with God? If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about. But that was not God's way. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. When people work their wages, they're not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. David also speaks of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. I think we have a clear picture here today that you can't be righteous based upon your own works. There's no way. So this idea of being an influencer isn't a matter of an amount of knowledge or something you own, something you have. It's not something that you can just walk in to say like, yeah, I did this, so therefore I've got street cred. It's not going to happen. It's a matter of having faith in God and knowing that righteousness has been given to you freely. It's walking in this righteousness that sets you apart from this world. The knowing and the need of having that relationship with Jesus, that sets you apart from this world. People have a real hard time with it. Because you know why? Because this is the sad part about it. We've said these phrases often. I'm actually guilty of saying this. Man, salvation is easy. Oh, salvation is easy. But then the next day you get attacked by the enemy with something, a compromising situation or anything and everything. You just name it. It happens. A lack of something or a position, mentally speaking, that you can't get out of it. And unfortunately, you go, hold on, salvation ain't easy. And then you begin to fall down the religious trap of spiritual jumping jacks. I feel like I've got to have this penance. I got to pay a penance of some sort. Like, I need to do this in order to be set free from that. And that's not what the Word of God says at all. You've conjured up some weird salad bar religion where you've walked down and you're picking things and you're listening to some spiritual guru that Oprah tells you to listen to. And you realize that's not the way that God says to do things. We're allowing the world's influence to overcome, and we succumb to that. And that's a hard position. That's a real hard position to find yourself in, that you're just listening to all this rhetoric around you. We need to be wise, that being saved is difficult. It is hard. Jesus says it is hard. It's not the easiest thing. I mean, that's when the rich guy comes up and he says, hey, you know, I want to be a disciple. I want to follow you. And Jesus is like, okay. And he names off this rich guy. He names off all these easy Ten Commandment moments of like, yeah, I've obeyed my parents. I've done this. Like all the easy ones. Like, yeah, I've never murdered anybody. You're like, all right, neither have I. Neither of anyone in this room, I hope. But there's those, it's like this easy step. But Jesus goes a step further and says, but how about you give away all those things, all these possessions? Oh, do you know what you're asking of me? That's where it becomes difficult to say, I'm giving everything over to him. That's what salvation is saying, I'm done. I'm done trying to do it my way. I'm done trying to do it the world's way. God, I'm going to sit at your feet. I'm going to listen because I have faith in knowing that I'm set free from all of this. I'm not bound to have to listen to the news, to the world around me. I want to know what you want to know. I want to know what you have for me. I want that. And you sit there and God begins to speak to you. God begins to give you revelation of some of those things that he has prepared for you. He gives you a vision that he bursts inside of you, and he gives you the opportunity to walk it out. And in that process of walking it out, you gain a revelation of righteousness, because then you realize, I can't do this. It was impossible for me to do it. Half the time we get saved and then we sit on our hands, and that's where we get confused about righteousness, because we've allowed fear to come in and not faith. And we don't step out in that gifting that God's given us. We've allowed our capacity to stay small because it's just enough for us. The gospel was never enough for us. It was more than enough for everyone. And there was a great commission given that Jesus says, hey, you need to preach this. You need to teach this. He gave clear instruction for us in how to step forward and to step out. And say, here, I've given you this. And those are the moments, those wake-up moments of righteousness, of like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize the capacity. I didn't realize how good God is. His righteousness increases in your life. It doesn't increase in the natural, in the form of what I'm saying, as far as like, it forgives more sin. Let me tell you something. It just forgives all sin. It forgives all sin. I want you to begin to walk with the knowledge of the influencer, the knowledge of saying, I've been made right in the eyes of God so that I can go do what he's called me to do, not so I can selfishly fulfill those desires that I have created inside of me, but those that God has birthed in me so that I can see them come out and be fulfilled for the kingdom of God. That's what I want to have. You have a full understanding of what righteousness is all about when you get out of yourself and you say, God, I want all of you. That's where salvation plays this key role. That we're destined to go to hell. There's this moment of birth because sin entered through Adam. Now, these are doctrinal statements, and they get heavy and they get deep. But through Adam and Eve, we see this sin came corrupting through, and it went from generation to generation to generation. And the law, through the Mosaic law, comes and it was applied. And this Mosaic law was to never set a standard of, hey, if you guys can fulfill this, you're going to be awesome. It was just a reminder of the sin that they had, and they had to go to God. They had to go into the temple. They had to create sacrifice, and they had to do these things. It was just a constant reminder of the sin. But as you read in Hebrews and Romans, you read these different books of the Bible, you declare and discover, oh my goodness, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What he did for me, he set me free. Listen, some of you guys, we look at this Bible and we think, gosh, it's so complicated. I love what Charles Capp said. He says, this Bible's so easy, you need a book to make it complicated. And I think that's the problem. We're trying to create a complication to this because we sit here and we're going to other earthly knowledge of people. They're trying to get their understanding of it instead of just sitting there and going, all right, God, I'm going to stay on John chapter 6 forever. And you just teach me. Isn't it funny? I'm going to definitely group Americans into this. We're so full of consumerism. But it's like consumption. It's like this knowledge. Again, it's spiritual jumping jacks. I've read the whole Bible. Therefore, I'm an authority on the Bible. I would love for someone to be like, I've never read any of it except John. Like, just one book. Like, and I've got it. I think you would have a better knowledge of God and Jesus, the whole Trinity, and the understanding of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, if you just read the Gospel of John. Just read John. And allow God to teach you the book of John. Instead of like, I read John. Check. Oh, man. All right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Where's Acts? Oh, Acts. And then before you read Acts, you actually go into like some website blog and you read a little bit of what someone's interpretation of the book of Acts is. And then you go to someone else's interpretation and you watch a message on the book of Acts and you're like, okay, I think I get Acts. And yeah, you have no idea. I love it. But in America, this consumerism of consumption, more and more and more and more. The more I have, the more I know. And I think we don't give it enough. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. All these things. You got to seek him first. That's enough. I mean, wasn't that the issue with Job? Job had everything. And that's when the enemy comes in, the devil comes in and was like, hey, let me take it all. This whole conversation with God takes place. You can take it all, but Job will still be faithful. Give it all. You can have it all. He'll still be faithful. Some of us are still thinking today, how do I get right with God? And righteousness. You can't get right with God. You can't. Okay? You physically aren't able to. You don't have that knowledge. Okay? There's a corruption inside of you. There's a sin nature inside of you. I mean, how shocked are we when our four-year-old lies to us? I mean, that's the very beginning sin moment. Did you do that? How did this happen? I still today, I go through my house and I find things that are broken and I go, who broke this? I have four children, so I give everybody the benefit of the doubt because who knows, right? So then I keep going back to each one and finally, they want to put it on me that I didn't ask the right questions. My gate was broken. My fence gate was broken. And I said, it's broken. Who broke it? None of them. Finally, Colton goes, well, it was sticky last week. And so I used my foot, and I tried to open it up like that. And I said, yeah, that's how you broke it. Oh, you, Dad, you weren't asking the right question. See, man, what is that? It's in our nature. No one wants to get caught in this room, and some of you need to. You know what I'm talking about. Sin loves to hide. Some of you are like, I don't do that. Till you get busted. How many times are we shocked by people in the news? I can't believe they had an affair. I can't believe they had what? I can't believe they were doing what? Who's shocked anymore? It's not our job to be Jesus for them. It is our job to be a resemblance, an influence of the things of God for them, that we're showing them that we have been made right before God, that it's not by our workings, it's not by our might. That's why people in this world, they Christian no different than us. Well, that's a half truth. Yeah, there are some folks out there that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but yet they actually don't follow Jesus. They just say they do. So they're hoping that when they die, they go to heaven. That's all they're hoping for. They're just hoping for that ticket. I want us, sure, guys, I'm excited about going to heaven. all right? I get it. I want to go to heaven. But actually, that's the last thing I think about. That is, I don't even think about that because of what God tells us. That he tells us that we can have heaven here on this earth, that we can have the experience of that here by being in his presence. And so knowing that, that's the drawing force for me that I go, man, I just want to be in his presence right now. So I can and I have that ability and that freedom to do so. Point being is I want you to wake up to those moments of saying, man, my salvation is based upon faith that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, so then I've made right. Now I'm going to walk in this. And there's nothing I could do. There's not enough Hail Marys. There's not enough whatever those things are called in other religions. It's not possible. It's not possible. What is possible is that when God bursts something inside of you, that you make known the knowledge of that faith. That's what Abraham said. Abraham even scoffed at the fact of like, man, I'm old, God. I'm old. And I'm supposed to be the father of many nations? I have one son right now, and that was forced. I mean, take that into perspective. That Abraham in himself wasn't by the things that he did right. It was just being faithful and obedient. That when God says go, you step out and you go, and then you begin to see and walk in that righteousness. You go, no, not by my might. This is not possible. That knowledge increases. That faith increases. Romans 3:10, there is no one righteous, not even one. The only way to receive the gift of righteousness is to believe and accept Jesus. This is the only way. It's the only way. I love, Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 29. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. That's it. I hear it from the world. We hear it. People say, I don't believe in Jesus. I mean, okay. I look at them. They don't have an understanding, though, of what's about to take place. They don't understand that when sin comes in, when you go on your own works, that it's susceptible to anything. Anything the world throws at it. But when you walk in the presence of God and you're doing the things of God, God protects those things. God watches over you. And yeah, the enemy still sneaks in somehow and tries to spoil it. And that's when you have to be aware of your boldness and that righteousness to go, man, I'm not gonna allow this to happen. We begin to use words, God's words. God's words that speak boldness. That we're walking in righteousness and that we are free. I feel like for some of you, you don't understand the power of words. God's words are helpful words. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Psalm 1:1-3, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Proverbs 4:10-13, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long and good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. My words, that means. When you hear my words, that means there are other words. Some of you in this room, I know it. I don't even have to point it out. I just know it. Some of you in this room, you're saying, easier said than done, Pastor Josh. You don't know my story. You don't know my life, how hard it is. Man, that's the problem I'm talking about. You need to eradicate those thoughts. You need to come in and and do a washing on your brain. Because that's exactly what I've been reading, is that you're not speaking God's words. You don't believe what he says. He says he's going to do. You don't believe any of it. Nor are you willing to even try, because you've actually gotten used to playing the victim. Oh, you love the victim card. Hey, men, we're really good at it, right? I love the victim card, because why? Because my wife pays attention to me more. Oh, I didn't feel good last night. I got a text this morning. How you feeling, baby? I'm okay. Right? We love the victim card. We love it. Oh, man, especially at work. Ooh, the drama. The boss wants to come in, wants to correct you. Because why? Because the boss can see potential in you. Not because you're a loser. Stop being so offended about everything. It's like this notion of hate the man above us. Hate the boss. Actually, do what he says. Respect him, her. Respect them. Man, talk about the moment of elevation, promotion, when you walk in honor and respect. Honor and respect, man, they usher in promotion. But yet we love to play the card. Did you see him or her? Do you see how they said this? It's drama. It's victim. Oh, it's easy to play that card because we get attention. That's not the attention I want. I refuse to walk in offense and hurt. I want to walk in God's word. What's God's word says? Well, I just read it. But I'm not going to stumble. My path will be straight. I'm going to have helpful words. I'm going to have words that build me up and they don't tear me down. That in all seasons, I will bear fruit. And the seasons that are really good and the seasons that are really bad, I'm bearing fruit. It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if it's cold. I'm bearing fruit. It doesn't matter. Why? Because I know the words that God spoke, and therefore I'm holding on to those words. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I declare that over my life. I speak this over my life. I've declared it. So therefore, I know it, I believe it, and I'm walking in it. I will not deter from anything outside of that. That I know that I have eternal life, and that I'm not going to follow sin. I'm not going to allow sin to breed contempt in my life over and over again. I'm going to stop it. No, I don't want that in my life. I don't like what it's doing. I'm paying attention to those habits. How did I get here? Why am I doing this? Oh, man, that's got to stop. You know, that sin, when you begin to walk in righteousness, you are made more aware of it. You're made more aware of it. But it's not to create a distance between you and the presence of God. It's actually a moment to say, God's trying to say, hey, let's fix this area. And then let's fix this area. And then this is going to happen. You're going to see this increase in your life. Oh, this has been an issue. This is why there's been some health problems in your life. Yeah, I'm going down that road. Because some of you are like get real upset about health. And you think that, you know, that's just who you are. It was because your grandma had gout, so you got gout. You like how I said gout? Some of you are like, why are we talking about gout? I don't know. It just seemed like the way to go. Because everyone always wants to talk about cancer, not about something easy as gout. I'm here to tell you that this generational curse stops with you when you begin to walk in the righteousness of God and you can be set free from these things. Man, there's churches out there in this religious church idea of like, yeah, God put it on you. Whoa. Then you come up front and try to get prayed for it, but then you go, why am I getting prayed for this? Now I'm going against God's will. If it's God's will for me to be sick, then why am I praying against it? You see the oxymoron in all of this. God wants to set you free from these things. Why? Because he wants his glory shown. He wants people to recognize the righteousness that he has for them. And it's through you by saying, look at me, I'm an influencer for the kingdom of God. And I'm not ashamed of it. Man, so many people, That whole message of the cross is he's delivering us from this penalty of sin. There will be people that you encounter that say, I don't want that. I don't want that. But there are so many people out there that need that. Right. And you may get burned on some of these folks. Jesus was burned constantly. The rich young ruler. He comes, hey, God, I want to be this follower of you. And Jesus is like, okay, let's talk. And then the guy's like, no, I don't really want to be a follower. I don't really want to let everything go. Man, wake up. God's looking for people who are sold out. I want to do this. Salvation is a difficult decision, especially if you put everything before it. But when you put salvation first, best, easiest decision you could ever make, because you recognize how good it is. Man, I want salvation through Jesus Christ. I want to be made right. Nothing I can do. But I'm not going to walk around now. Christians, listen. You don't walk around with this haughty position of like, man, that's going to help people. That's why it's funny because, you know, people, it's like you pinch their nose and you open their head up and you try to pour the gospel down in. Man, I'm going to tell you something. When you walk like a well-watered tree beside the river, I grew up in the hills of West Virginia. I had this, my grandparents, they had this little farmhouse, this little A-frame up in this valley. It's picturesque, you know, it's all pretty. On the way down to their house, they had an apple tree, they had a pear tree, and they had a cherry tree. My grandma would find me high up in the cherry tree just eating cherries with the birds. I'd be up there just picking those cherries. I was the only brave one in the family that climbed to the top of the tree. I'd just be spitting seeds out, eating cherries all day long. Man, it was so much fun. I saw these things. You guys know, I've never been to New Zealand. Never been to New Zealand. But I was told by a New Zealander, a friend, he said, you know what's really wild about New Zealand? He says, if you see it on a tree, if you see it on a plant and it's pretty, you can eat it. Everything. I said, I need to fact check that. Google. Anything you see on a tree, you can eat in New Zealand. That is not the case in America. Right? That is not the case. Oh, look at that red berry. Guys, when you are walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, people will see the fruit you're producing and they're going to come to you. This is cakewalking, my friends. This is those moments where people just kind of come up and they go, what's your story? And you're just genuine. Why? Because God is genuine. God is such a genuine God. He just wants to be with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. It's so easy. We create the difficult, the problematic situations. We complicate it. We know better. I brought a girl home one time. My dad looked at me and goes, is this the standard you set? These are those moments you ask yourself. I knew exactly what he was talking about. Some of you girls in this room, you just got all, you ain't those girls. You're in church right now. So don't even get all defended over your womanhood. What? You're in church. So stop it. Gosh, everyone's so sensitive right now. You know exactly who I'm talking about. Girls, you bring a boy home and all of a sudden your dad looks at you and goes, really? So you know what I'm talking about. So there, I threw both of us underneath the bus. But it's those moments that God says to you, really? Is this what you want? I mean, you have the choice. But whoa, that's those moments that God says, I got something better for you. Sin manifests into the work of the flesh. Band, come on up. Or come on out, wherever you're at. It manifests works of the flesh, works of Satan and sickness. It does these things. You cannot cast yourself out. It's not possible, right? But you can put to death that sinful nature, those earthly things that are lurking in you, those moments, those desires that you've created, those habits. Because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Wandering eyes, substance abuse. You have the choice to go, I don't want to do this anymore. And to seek the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God, how can I, Lord, through you, Lord, what is the next best step that needs to be taken? How do I get this out of my head? Why do I keep dating these bad people? God, show me good people. God, surround me with people that build me up and don't tear me down. Lord, send me mentors in my life. And then begin to walk in that. There's study groups that we just had up here, right, to pray for them. These are individuals that want to help you find a better way. Join these groups. Get to know them. Talk, ask questions about the Word of God. Sharpen, iron sharpening iron. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In every situation, we must ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. That's what's so beautiful about Jesus dying on the cross for us, is that now he gives us the key, the successful key. And it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you. When you get saved by faith, when you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and personal Savior, then you ask, Lord, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon my life. People get real, again, man, some of us got, we were raised in churches where we get all caught up on words. Man, just, I don't, NLT, NIV, KJV, NKJV, Amplified, whatever. In the KJV, it says the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, I think of baptism, I think of submersion, I think of just fullness, baptize. Man, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I read the descriptive terms of the Holy Spirit of fire. I mean, fire, it's a consuming fire. It's the Holy Spirit refining you. It's the Holy Spirit convicting you in a positive manner of like, oh yeah, that's not good. Let's change that. This is a good friend. Holy Spirit's a comforter. Holy Spirit, he comes in and he says, man, I've got something way better. Way better. Don't do that. Oh, you're doing that. Well, praise God, you've been made righteous. Let's work on this again. And you gear back up. Holy Spirit says, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let me show you. Let me show you. Let me help you. Holy Spirit takes care of you. Every day you need to declare that you are righteous by faith. Every day, wake up. I am righteous by faith. I am not bound to sin. I am not bound to this world. I am not bound to comparison. I am strong. I am wise. I will not walk in weakness. I will walk with a capacity that is increasing, not decreasing. I will walk with my head up because I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. Everything I put my hand to, it grows. Everywhere I walk with honor and respect. Everywhere I go, every place I put my foot, it is steady and it is steadfast upon God's word. I am not defeated. I am victorious in what I do. I will not be bound to man's opinion. I am only sold out. I'm sold out for the kingdom of God. That's it. That's all I want. Nothing else. No more. You've got to confess this. I am righteous by faith. I am righteous by faith. This is not a Wizard of Oz, click your heels and say, you know, home is whatever. This is not a make-believe statement to say it until you believe it. But I am aware that how powerful words are. Proverbs 18:21, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. I want you to know that the more you say this, the more awareness you have of it, the more you say that these blessings of the righteous, they fall on me, these blessings. It's the same moment that Abraham had to recognize, man, I am blessed. Why would I lie about my wife being my sister. God's going to take care of me. I'm blessed. And then Abraham does it again. He lies about his wife being his sister. He's not getting it. And then there's this made awareness of who he is. And it's that knowing you're going to have the same encounter with God, that everything you see, these blessings of Abraham, they've been added to you, added to your account. You become heir. Man, heir. It includes health, provision, emotional well-being, poise. How many of us need poise? Oh, man. I need poise. Confidence in the Lord. I want us to have confidence in the Lord. I want to pray. I want the altar care workers come up front. If you don't know Jesus and you want to be sold out. Now listen, church, last week I said it. Man, we've got to start stretching our capacity. I want to see people getting saved. I want to see salvations. For you in this room, this is a big moment. This is a decision that needs to be made right now. No time. You don't have time to waste. The time is of the essence right now. It is important that you are saved. And if you don't know Jesus and you want to make him Lord and Savior over your life, and you want to see a transformational power of righteousness upon your life, then this is the now. For you that are in this room, you need breakthrough. You need breakthrough. You need a healing. You need some wise counsel. Some moment where you hear God's word that brings life and not death. If that's you, this altar is open as well. We want to pray for healing over your body. You know, I make a funny joke about how our church is, you get pregnant at this church. It's because we've seen it take place. You also get set free from this church, from drug addiction. We've seen it. We've seen people getting healed from this church. Right from this altar right here, you come up front, people are going to come in agreement. You're going to walk out of here changed. I'm tired of the old ways of living this. Just, I got to deal with it. No, you don't have to deal with nothing. You lay it at the feet of Jesus. You say, no longer am I defeated. I'm victorious. I'm going to believe in the manifestations of what God said is so. So I want us to stand to our feet right now. We're going to worship for a few minutes. And this altar is going to become open for people to get prayed for. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, not I, but you. You reign in our lives. God, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I've been saved. I've been saved by you through faith. I call upon your name, the greatest name, the name above all names, the name of Jesus. I declare you Lord over my life. If you want to pray that prayer, I want you to come down front right now. We want to pray with you. I want you to step out. I want you to be bold. If you're dealing with a sickness, let's get rid of it right now. Let's pray it out. If your back hurts, we're going to pray for your back. If your arm hurts, we're going to pray for your arm. If you've got something internal going on, we want to pray for you right now. The Bible tells us in James chapter 5 that if you've got something going on, come down front and get prayed for. Why would you not? So let's do that right now. The altars are open.